16. I'm going to look at much of the psalm, but we want to focus what we read in verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? We know neither the author nor the occasion of this 116th psalm. As you read the psalm, you hear the words of one who had a personal experience of the Lord. He speaks of his experience of the Lord in verses 1 through 4. He says that the Lord has heard his voice, has heard his supplications, has inclined his ear. Says that, then called I in the name of the Lord, verse 4, and he delivered, or deliver my soul. In verse 6, he says, I was brought low, and he helped me. Verse 7, he talks to himself concerning his soul. He says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. So he's a man who had experienced rest of soul. And he said, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, speaking of his soul. In verse 8, he speaks of the Lord's deliverance. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Verse 12, we've already read that. He speaks of the Lord's benefits to him. Verse 16, he speaks of the Lord loosing his bonds. The last part of the verse says, thou hast loosed my bonds. So it is a psalm of one who knew that he had been blessed of God. The psalm of one who was living in the realization of the Lord's blessings. The structure of the psalm is of great variety. It begins with a very emotional statement concerning his feeling toward the Lord. He says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He then speaks of the Lord in verses 1 through verse 6. We see that he's speaking of the Lord. In verse 7, he speaks to himself. Well, he's gone from speaking of the Lord, and now he's talking to himself, talking to his soul. Verse 8, he speaks to the Lord, for thou. So he's now talking to God. So he's gone from talking about God, talking to himself, and he's now talking to God in verse 8. In verse 9, he speaks of his intention or resolve toward the Lord. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So, after he talks to God, he has resolve. And he speaks of that resolve. Verses 10 and 11, he speaks of a past experience. He says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, that is without giving it a whole lot of thought, all men are liars. Then in verse 12, the verse that we read for our text, he asks himself a question, very important question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me. Verse 13 and 14, he again states his intention or his resolve. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And in verse 15, he speaks of the Lord. He says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And in verse 16, he again speaks to the Lord. O Lord. So now he's back to praying. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. And still talking to the Lord, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And then in verse 19, he really speaks to the people. He says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. So he's talking to them. And what does he exhort them to do? Praise ye the Lord. So you see, he talks of God. He talks to himself. He talks of his resolve, his intent toward the Lord. And he talks to God. And he just goes back and forth. But in all of this, we see a reverence for God. There's praise for God. There's thanksgiving. There's much reflection. He thinks upon what God has done in his life. And again, I believe that's something we ought to do every day, is just reflect upon what God has done in our lives. And we see also, of course, that there's prayer, there's personal exhortation, and there's resolve. And everything in this psalm, everything goes back to that opening statement, I love the Lord. That's the basis of everything he writes in this psalm. It's the key. It's the key to our lives as well, if we're going to serve the Lord. He says, I love the Lord. So in the psalm, the name Lord is used 16 times. The name God is used one time. And there are 13 pronouns referring to God. So that's 30 direct references to the Lord. So I believe you can safely say that the psalmist is focused upon the Lord. He used personal pronouns of himself. He always speaks of himself in relation to the Lord. So he views himself in relation to the Lord. Now notice in verses 1 and 2, he speaks of himself in the present. I love the Lord. That's present tense. He also speaks of the past because he hath. So he speaks of the present. He speaks of the past, but he also speaks of the future. In verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I, that's future tense, call upon him as long as I live. Point being, the Lord was in his life in the past, in the present, and in the future. He was focused upon God. We want to take the main thought from verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The main thought of that verse, of course, is the Lord's benefits, the Lord's blessings toward the individual. And those words, just like the entire psalm, there's deep emotion. There's deep thought in these words. And they find their basis in, I love the Lord. Because I love the Lord, I want to render unto Him. I want to give unto Him. So I believe what we have here is an individual who's overwhelmed at the blessings of God. And that's our subject, overwhelmed at the blessings of God. First of all, consider the act of God that is spoken of here. All His benefits toward me. Those words speak of the Lord acting in our behalf. They're His benefits. They come toward us. He's the one who sends them toward us. All His benefits toward me. Benefits speak of that which is good for us. That doesn't just mean the good things that happens to us. Because bad things happen to us, we consider bad, but they're good for us. So benefits can be trials. It can be a lot of things that we normally don't think of as benefits. The truth is, some of the things that we think of as benefits is anything but a benefit. So it's that which is good for us. The Lord knows what's good for us. You and I don't even know everything that's good for us. God does. It's that which is for our sake, for our welfare. It's that which is advantageous to us, His benefits. That which is designed to help us. I believe everything God does in my life is designed to help me. It's not designed to destroy me. If that was the case, He would just do it. It's designed to help. It's that which is profitable and a blessing to us. Again, it would include trials, difficulties, afflictions, chastisements, etc. Everything God does for us is good for us. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 10, in the context of chastisement and our parents' chastisement of us, but he for our profit. Everything God does is for our benefit, for our profit. Hopefully we all believe that. And all the benefits that God bestows upon us. Notice they are His benefits. Even when He gives them to us, they're still His. They're always His. His benefits. That means they flow from Him as He determines. So it is an act of His prerogative. And He acts freely of His own good pleasure. That is, God bestows benefits on me, He bestows benefits on you, and He does so freely. He does so because He wants to. It's His good pleasure. Notice the words toward me. Toward me. Read the Lord toward me. The Lord toward me. The fact that it is the Lord toward me in a constructive rather than a destructive way, reveals the character of the Lord's dealings with us. It's loving. It's gracious. It's merciful. It's in spite of ourselves. Therefore, it's a great and marvelous wonder. His benefits toward me. But notice it says all his benefits. The word all is indicative of measure. It's a measuring stick. And here it would speak of that which is beyond all human numeration. The benefits of God cannot be counted. Cannot be counted. You can't even count them for a day, or an hour, or a minute. They're innumerable. All his benefits. You know, the world talks about giving us benefits, and yet I've seen the benefits of the world destroy many a soul. So is it a benefit? Not at all. Seen a lot of the world's so-called benefits destroy families and homes and marriages. Is that a benefit? I don't think so. All his benefits. So it's beyond human numeration. It's vast. It's inexhaustible. We hear David say in Psalm 68 and verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily," no matter what the day entails, aren't you glad there are no stipulations put upon that word daily? "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." He does so every day. Again, there are no stipulations to the word daily. Every day he loadeth us with benefits. The word loadeth, of course, speaks of the abundance of these benefits, the generosity in which God bestows these benefits. So every day, God, because he chooses to do so, and out of love, grace, and mercy, fills, gives, and pours down upon us his benefits. That's wonderful. Multiply out the number of your days, and daily the Lord has loaded you with benefits. Every single day. And every one of them is without charge to us. They're all free. They're without charge, and they are in spite of ourselves. And yet, for the most part, we take little to no thought of his benefits bestowed upon us every single day. Think of his benefits regarding the temporal. It is declared in Acts 17:25, he giveth to all life. What a benefit, life. And he gives breath and all things. That speaks of our creation, life, our sustenance. He gives us breath and all the provisions, all things. All of those are a part, a very small part, of his benefits. You and I are created marvels. You and I are sustained marvels. We are the blessed recipients of his grace and of his mercy. All without charge. All without charge. And more often than not, we take these blessings for granted or with very little thought. You think about God has given us these bodies. And up till now, He's caused them to work every single day. That's amazing. Yet we take that for granted quite often. So He gives us these bodies. He causes them to work. He does so without charge. No charge. Those are wonderful words. You go into a store and they say, no charge. Or a restaurant, no charge. Doesn't happen. But that's what God does for us every day. No charge. God gives us the benefit of movement. What a blessing to be able to move. And He gives us that benefit, no charge. We're able to lie down when we want to. We're able to sit down when we want to, and we're able to get up. Those are benefits. Those are blessings. Yet how often do we lie down and thank God for the ability to lie down, or the ability to sit, or the ability to get up? We get up all the time and give it no thought at all. And yet these are benefits that God has given us without charge. We're able to move our limbs just to be able to move our fingers. What a blessing. Be able to move our limbs. What a blessing. And God's given us that daily. Now I may wake up tomorrow or by the end of this night, I may not be able to move anything. But that doesn't take away all the days I've been able to. God has loaded me with benefits. No charge. He's given us our senses. Sight. Multiply out your days. Think of all the things that you see. That's God. No charge. He gives us hearing, no charge. Taste, no charge. What a blessing, taste. Gives a lot of enjoyment to life, taste. Yet how often do we sit down to a meal and thank God for being able to taste our food? We thank God for our food, and we ought to. The ability to taste it. That's God's benefits to us. Smell. Smell of coffee, the smell of bacon. I mean, those are hard to beat. Green beans cooking. That's hard to beat. And yet it is God who gives us those benefits. The benefit of touch. What would it be like to not have the feeling of touch? These are all benefits of God. He has given us physical and mental abilities that enable us to enjoy life at no charge. And for the most part, we give it very little thought. He's given us the privilege of being loved. What a benefit. That there be people that love us. That's a blessing of God. And then He gives us the ability to love. Those things bring enjoyment to life. And they all come from God. He's given us the benefit of health, which brings much joy into our life, allows us to work and play, no charge. all the enjoyments of life, no charge. If anyone else were to give you all of these things, you know what it'd cost you? You wouldn't have enough money. Gives us the benefits of family. It's bestowed upon us friends. It's placed people in our lives that bring us great joy and that are of a benefit to us. He may place people in our lives that are a trial to us, but that's a benefit because it causes us to pray. It causes us to appreciate others. He allows us to be a friend to other people. And we can go on all night of God's benefits to us. But what's amazing is there's no charge. Gives us food, gives us clothing, gives us shelter, and beyond that. Jesus teaches that's all we really need. Food, clothing, and shelter. You have that. That's all you, that are, those are the basic necessities. But God's given us much more than that. He gives us around-the-clock protection, 24/7. No charge. Try to find a security company that's going to give you 24/7 protection, no charge. Not going to happen. But that's what we have with God. He gives us new days. Every day is a gift from God. Part of His benefits. And oh, the blessings of a new day. We need to view a day as a gift from God. So you think of all the temporal blessings of God, and they're innumerable. They're of such great variety. We're blessed. We're abundantly blessed of God. But those temporal blessings, they're all secondary. There's something even greater. And that is the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We read in Romans 8:32 concerning these spiritual blessings, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given to us of God. And you think of the spiritual blessings bestowed upon us. He saved our soul. He saved our soul. No charge to us. Wasn't cheap. Cost Him His Son. No charge to us. Paid our sin debt. No charge. Blotted out all the charges against us, and they're innumerable. Removed all our guilt. No charge. Sins forgiven. No charge. Redeemed from the curse of the law. No charge. Reconciled to God. Made acceptable to God, brought nigh to God, no charge. Adopted into the family of God, made the sons and daughters of God, no charge. Given the Holy Spirit to indwell us, no charge. An heir of God. A joint heir with Christ. Eternal inheritance. Home in heaven. Made rich beyond measure. through his poverty. No charge to you and I. Fellowship with God. No charge. No charge. People will stand in line all day long to get the autograph of a celebrity. I have fellowship with God, no charge. No charge. He's given us an awareness of God. Most of the world walks in oblivion. Have no awareness of God. And yet God has given you and I an awareness of himself. What a benefit. What a blessing. Have access to the throne of God. We don't have access to hardly anything in this world. But we have access to the throne of God. No charge. Have a great high priest, an unfailing intercessor. Have the ability to pray. What a benefit to be able to pray. What a foolish waste not to. Have the ability to praise God. The ability to worship God. To worship the Lord. These are great gifts. The ability to read God's Word and to understand it. To understand it. That's a gift. That's a gift of God. No charge. Fellowship with dear saints of God. No charge. God has put into our lives wonderful saints of God. No charge to you and I. We have sufficiency in all things. We have grace and abundant supply. You think of, since the day we were saved, the privileges that we have been given every single day. Every single day. Perhaps we didn't pray like we should today. Perhaps we didn't do a lot of things like we should today. And what does God do? He gives us another day. Gives us another chance. Don't drag yesterday's failures into today. It's what people do all the time. That's a sure thing to guarantee another day of failure. And yet people do it all the time. We've been allowed, just think of since we've been saved, what we've been allowed to feel. What we've been allowed to feel. The Lord's presence. What we've been allowed to see. What we've been allowed to experience. And God says, no charge. We're blessed. So what is the impact of this upon our hearts? Well, the thought of these things caused the psalmist to ask from the depths of his heart, what shall I render? What shall I return unto the Lord? Now in that verse, notice, there is a drastic shift. In verse 11, I said in my haste, that is without thought. You ever do something without thought? We all have. I said in my haste, all men are liars. But by the time you get to verse 12, the very next verse, he wisely leaves off fretting about man's falsehood and deceitfulness and directs his focus upon God. All men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord? What a shift. in his thoughts. And there's a lesson there for us. And the lesson is, it is infinitely better to praise the perfection and faithfulness of God than to focus upon man's imperfection and deceitfulness. You can pick out the faults of anyone in this building, and you can focus on it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's far more healthy to focus upon God. What shall I render unto the Lord? I can honestly say, I can focus on someone's faults. Doesn't do me any good. It doesn't bring any benefit to me whatsoever. None. But if I focus upon God, there's riches there. What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I? It's not what shall we. It's not what shall they. What shall I? It's a personal question. Beware that you, lest you get so focused upon what others are doing or not doing, that you lose sight of your own responsibility to God. And people do that. Well, they should have done that. They should be doing this. What shall I render unto the Lord? That's what we need to come back to. You can't, if you focus on those other things, it'll destroy you spiritually. It's a very proper question. The Lord has rendered innumerable mercies upon us. Should we not look about us, within us, and see what can be done by us to manifest our gratitude? It's just a proper question. What shall I render unto the Lord? He's done all of this. What shall I give unto the Lord? It's an always seasonable question. There's never a time when that question is improper or unseasonable. It's always in season. We ought always to be recognizing the Lord's amazing goodness to us. And always have this sentiment, what shall I render unto the Lord? We can get sidetracked by people, by people's behaviors. But we need to always come back to this. Yes, they're failing miserably over here, but what shall I render unto the Lord? That's what we need to focus on. What shall I render unto the Lord? In these words, there's a remembrance of His blessings. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? So there's a remembrance of God's blessings. Why don't people always think, what shall I render unto the Lord? Because we forget His blessings. It's a recognition of the Lord's claim upon us. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? He has a claim upon us. The very fact that He gave you life and that He gives you breath, He has claim upon you. Whether He saved your soul or not, He has absolute claim. We need to recognize that. What shall I render unto the Lord? There is a desire toward the Lord in those words. His desire is toward God. There's an overwhelming sense of inability to properly acknowledge God's blessings upon us. What shall I render? In other words, there's not enough. People talk ignorantly of repaying the Lord. You can't do that. You can't even come close. You have nothing to repay the Lord with. What shall I render? It's not a payment plan. Most see that statement, what shall I render unto the Lord, as merely a statement of obligation. An obligation is a duty. It's a responsibility. It's a debt. something that we are constrained to do. It's something that is binding upon us. And without a doubt, the psalmist felt an obligation to the Lord. And so should we. We should feel an obligation toward the Lord. But having said that, these words are not merely words of obligation. It's much more. It takes us back to the opening statement, I love the Lord. You can read that opening statement, I love the Lord, and then read verse 12. I love the Lord, what shall I render? And to Him for all His benefits toward me. So you see, yes, we should feel obligated. But it shouldn't just be obligation, it should be love. It is love to the Lord that is the root and basis of what shall I render unto the Lord. I do believe the more we love God, the more we find ourselves saying, what shall I render unto the Lord? So this is something much deeper, far more moving than mere obligation. Just a sense of obligation, just a mere sense of obligation can become very grievous, can become very burdensome. That explains the behavior of many. Just an obligation. But love desires and longs to do for the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They are grievous if it's just an obligation, if that's all it is. It'll become grievous to you. That's why people get mad at others. So mad, so frustrated at others for not keeping the commandments. Because it's an obligation to them. Someone should share this weight with me as about their attitude. I shouldn't be doing this all by myself. When we should be saying, what shall I render unto the Lord? What more can I do for the Lord? It was love to God that caused the psalmist to say from his heart, what shall I render unto the Lord? Love to God wants to render unto the Lord. Love to God wants to be committed to God. You see, people, we've mentioned this a thousand times, but people say, well, I just need to be more committed. Well, that may be so. But you need to love the Lord more. Because if you love the Lord more, you'll be more committed. Just committing your life again and again and again doesn't make you more committed. There's a root. There's a basis. I love the Lord. Love to the Lord wants to be more surrendered to God. Pray for me that I be more surrendered. People will say, well, that's good. I understand. But just pray that you love the Lord more. Because if you do that, you'll be more surrendered. It all gets back to this opening statement. I love the Lord. Love to God wants to obey Him. Love to God wants to put Him first. Love to God wants to glorify Him. Love to God wants to be closer to Him. Love to God wants to please Him. And it's love to God that says, what shall I render unto the Lord? That is the most reasonable, sensible, and logical statement that there is. I love the Lord. Because of that, what shall I render? What shall I render unto the Lord? You see, love to God leads to a life unto God. our life begins to move in the direction of God. Again, things are never going to be fixed in individual lives until they get to the root of the matter. Until they get to the root of the matter, it'll never be fixed. And this is the root. I love the Lord. Love to God directs the heart, directs the mind, it directs the life unto the Lord. And the lover of God will always have this sentiment, this attitude. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Let us not get sidetracked what others are doing or not doing. I can get pretty disturbed when I look at the lives of many. I can get pretty disturbed when I look at my own life also. But it does me no good to spend a couple days focusing upon the failures of someone else. I need to get back to this: what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Can I give too much? I don't think so. We can never give enough. We can never give enough. If we never committed another sin, and we lived wholeheartedly for the Lord the rest of our life, 100% surrender to God, you haven't given anything compared to the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. And none of us are in danger of being 100% surrendered to God. The world has seen one man 100% surrender to God, and that was Jesus Christ. No one else comes close. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? God has been so good to each one of us. We are blessed of the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.